Chapter 26. Adamantua.
But his primary socket's ripped out, Laurentius complained.
He was hurt during the crash,
Major Nyman explained patiently. He had opened the faceplate of his atmospheric suit so he could be heard. The Major clearly didn't trust the filthy, matted Magos biologist at all. He was wary of his manic, agitated behaviour.
He's been hurt. Stop manhandling him.
Please be calm, Major, said Daylight. Magos, perhaps you could be a little more gentle with the adept. He is injured and hardly in the best shape.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, Laurentius said.
Nyman and two of his Asmodai had brought the tech adept into the Magos biologist's chamber and were helping him settle on a seat made of a munition crate beside Laurentius's repurposed workstation. The humans had all been fed from some of the rations in the stockade supplies. They'd been given purified water, too. First, Captain Algerin didn't think much of their survival odds. Humans, in his experience, had about 4 or 5 days' tolerance for the conditions of Adamantua. Algerin also didn't seem to think much of Daylight's interest in the Magos biologist's theories. To Algerin, Laurentius was an eccentric who had been driven half mad by his prolonged exposure to the environment and was probably fairly deranged and obsessive in the first place.
It's a miracle he survived this long, Algerin had remarked,
and Daylight wasn't clear if that meant Algerin was surprised that Laurentius had outlasted the other human survivors, or if he thought it was a miracle he hadn't silenced the Magos long ago. The tech adept seemed a little calmer for food and water, and also to be out of the open in a place where the noise bursts were more muffled. Nevertheless, his eyes were still dead and wandering, and his movements jerky. The sudden attention and manic eagerness of the tattered Magos made him shrink back, timid and alarmed. The Magos made soothing, cooing noises and began to examine the ruined primary plug in the back of the tech adept's neck. The touch of his fingers on the blood-crusted injury made the adept wince. Laurentius made a tutting sound and looked elsewhere.
"Secondary plugs," he said with some relief. "Here in the sternum and under the arms, also the spine. Not as clean and direct as a primary cortex, but it should do the trick. Yes, very good, under the circumstances."
He looked sidelong at Daylight and whispered,
"The fellow looks a little ropey, though, sir. A little wobbly."
"He's been injured," said Daylight, "in the crash, so he might be a limited resource. He's not strong or mentally robust."
"Crash, right, yes, I remember you saying that," said Laurentius. "I'll just have to use whatever I can."
He began fiddling with the dirty brass dials and levers of his machinery. Oscilloscopes flashed and pulsed, and small, hololithic monitors lit up, displaying angry storms of ambient noise. The relayed echoes of noise bursts and other background sonics, most of them from the upper atmosphere and near space, fluttered out of the speakers at low volume. The tech adept shivered as a series of long, low, booming noise bursts filled the air outside. He shivered again as Laurentius began to connect jack leads to his implant sockets. His eyes rolled back as the last lead plugged into his spinal augmetic and linked to his damaged cortex.
"I've had the basic parsing program complete for over a week," Laurentius explained as he worked. "I mean, it was relatively simple. Relatively. The problem was the lack of a decent vocalization monitor. I basically made the translation, but I couldn't read it, you see. I couldn't read it. To read or hear the translation, you need to pass the translated data stream through the language centers of a live cortex. The language centers sort of do the work for you. They get the signal and interpret it."
He looked at Daylight as he adjusted some settings on the devices and then tweaked the fit of the adept's sternum plug.
"I thought of using my own language centers," he said pleasantly. "That would work, except I don't have the cranial plug. No cranial plug. There are ways around that, I suppose, but I couldn't find a knife clean enough."
The adept suddenly stiffened. His spine went rigid. His head started to twitch.
"That's good," said Laurentius, adjusting some dials.
"Is it really?"
asked Nyman doubtfully.
"Very good," Laurentius insisted.
He turned a gain knob and then gently dialed up a feed source. The tech adept began to twitch more violently. His head rocked and jiggled, and his eyes rolled back. His mouth began to move. Saliva flecked his lips as they ground and churned as though they were trying to form words.
Stop it,
said Nyman.
It's all going very well, said Laurentius.
I said stop it,
Nyman warned. Back off or get out, Major Nyman, Daylight said. There was a sound, a soft sound, a tiny blurt of noise. They all looked. It had come from the adept. His chewing, churning mouth, with spittle roping from it, was forming words. He was speaking.
What was that?
Asked Nyman.
Listen to him,
Laurentius insisted. The adept began to make louder noises. He gurgled and choked on the amorphous sound forms and half words bubbling out of his voice box. The sound was coming from his throat, across his palate, as if he was enunciating something primordial, something from the dark hindbrain portions of his mind. It grew louder still, deeper, more brutal. It was an ugly sound, an animal sound, atavistic. Finally, there were words.
Did you hear that?
Laurentius cried.
What did he say?
Asked Nyman.
Did you hear that?
Laurentius repeated excitedly. The tech adept, blind, rigid and drooling, was repeating one phrase over and over in a deep bass voice.
I am slaughter,
he was saying.
I am slaughter.
Oh, that's not right, said the Magos, suddenly disappointed. That's you.
He looked at Slaughter.
That's what you say, said Laurentius. That's the thing you say. He's overheard you and is just repeating it, poor mindless fool. I said he was no good. Too damaged, you see. Too damaged. Just repeating what he heard. What a pity. I had such high hopes. The whole thing's a failure.
Slaughter looked at the tech adept, who was still in rigor, grunting out the crude phrase.
He's never met me, he said. He's never heard me say that. He's never met me.